Welcome to WRTI's Classical Stream, made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Learn more at WRTI.org.
Violinist Vadim Gluzman, who is our guest today here on Crossover. We were fortunate to catch up with Mr. Gluzman in the midst of a tour, and he found time to share some of his thoughts with us here on Crossover today. I often wonder about the whole business of touring and performing and being at the top of your game, and you obviously are. And you've also come out with this marvelous new album on the BIS label with music of Bernstein, Bloch, and Barber, and all my favorites. And I thought maybe we'd chat about that a little bit also, about your amazing sound and your amazing violin. You have the sweetest, the most beautiful tone, I must say. And it's reminiscent of violinists of an earlier period. How do you account for that?
Well, I think our sound very much comes from within, from our idea of what sound we want to achieve. Well, given, of course, that we have the physical facilities to do it. And I cannot argue with you at all. My idea of violin sound very much comes from that, what is called the golden generation of violinists.
It is so reminiscent, and of course you have an amazing violin to perform on, but again, you know, the instrument is one thing, but the violinist is, of course, terribly important. You are a product of, what shall I say, is it a Russian school of playing?
To be honest with you, I really have no idea what am I product of. I have studied in Russia, of course, and I've studied with wonderful teachers. Then I came to Israel. That was another chapter. Then in the United States, and I really think I am, in the end of the day, I'm a mixture of all the schools that exist.
What I know, they say this about all instruments. It's a Russian school. It's a German school. It's an Italian school. But there is something very specific about the violin playing, and of course your instrument is a gorgeous Strad, and it's called the Leopold Auer Strad. Now, Leopold Auer was a violinist himself, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, he was one
great
of
violinist.
The greatest teachers of his time, uh-huh. If not the greatest teacher of his time. That's arguable, of course, but he only taught Haydn, Milstein, Elman, Zimbalist, Et cetera.
Nobody much.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's quite a line to be in. And as I say, you really recall that when I listen to you, and you're playing contemporary works, basically, of course, the Barber and Bernstein and even Bloch. But there is that hearkening back to another time. And of course, I'm waiting for you to record the Korngold as well. Do you think you're going to be doing that one?
Not only you are. Seeing the future, I guess, because the Korngold is the very next CD that will come out.
Ah, so I have ESP.
Yes, I have recorded it in the summer. It will be coupled with another concerto by Lithuanian composer Balis Dvarionas, which was written about at the same time as Korngold.
Really?
And we did record it in The Hague with resident orchestra Neeme Järvi.
Ah, wonderful. Oh, I can. Wait, when is that to be, or isn't that to be discussed?
It will take another half a year, I think, at least.
Now, you are an artist in residence. You have been returning to Israel, to the Jerusalem Academy of Music throughout the year, haven't you?
I'm beginning this year, that's right. I will be there three times this season, working with young violinists and their teachers as well. And in fact, I will be there this December. It is very important for me to have professional association at home.
Yes,
somehow the Jewish violin has always been very prominent and very present, and I would like to make sure, for more than one reason, that it keeps the presence.
Well, now
I'll do what I can.
You have lived in Israel since you were much younger, is that right?
Since I'm 15.
I see. But you started playing when you were very young, didn't you?
Not extremely young. Nowadays, if you don't play Paganini concerto by the age of six, you might as well forget violin. But I got my first fiddle on my birthday when I was seven. Mm-hmm. So that today that's considered hopeless.
Were you, did anyone push you towards it, or was your family musical?
Both of my parents are musicians. Mm-hmm. And they did not want me to be a musician.
Yes.
But somehow, I guess it was a simple case of jealousy. I couldn't understand why is it that they are teaching others and not me.
Well, they probably thought it was a hard life, but you have proven them wrong. I mean, it's a hard life physically and emotionally, but you certainly have made a tremendous success and justifiable.
I'm certainly, not only I'm not sorry about the life that I'm leading, but I don't think I would exchange it for anything else in the world.
Well, that's so wonderful. I was going to ask you, as a matter of fact, how you felt about the Baal Shem, because do you identify with it on any level? Is it close
very
to your
much
heart?
I identify with it on many levels. First of all, it is a tremendous piece of music, regardless its ethnical background. Secondly, of course, I'm Jewish, I'm Israeli, and playing, arguably, Bloch is the greatest Jewish classical composer. He was able to bridge the klezmer culture into the classical, mm-hmm. and back as well. And of course, this cycle is absolutely incredible. He manages to make the first movement, Vidui, the prayer that one says before the death, and it's one of the most touching prayers in Judaism.
Yes, it is very beautiful. Beautiful.
And he manages to translate it into quote-unquote classical music language. And he does it with such penetration that I think this music really transcends any national or mm-hmm. ethnical borders that one could think of. It becomes what we call world music today.
Yes, well, one thing about this, I don't want to offend you in any way, but these are supposedly three pictures of Hasidic life, and I've been told that Israelis are not really, I mean, there is the Hasidim are there, but their attitude is less, I guess, orthodox, many of them.
Well, it may be so indeed, but in case of Bloch, he was celebrating the legacy of Baal Shem, and I think his greatest legacy was to bring the religion from the few chosen wise men to the people.
Yes,
and he did it in very large part through music. This is how the klezmer tradition started.
Yes,
and I think this is the point of it: the bridging not only classical and folk tradition, but also bridging religion and life, making them much closer to one to another.
Yes, and attainable, I guess.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Now, what does Baal Shem translate to? I mean, what does that mean, the words?
Well, the exact translation is the owner of good name. But it was the person who started the Hasidic movement. That was Rabbi Baal Shem Tov.
That's very interesting. Well, you know, Leonard Bernstein also, as he got older, became very much involved with writing music that was inspired by Judaism.
Indeed. And speaking of Bernstein, the Serenade.
Yes.
This is one of my absolute favorite pieces in the repertoire. And Bernstein himself, I'm sorry I have never met him in my life. I came to Israel and he passed away a few months after.
This,
I haven't even seen a concert live.
Oh, my goodness. Well, John Neschling, I understand, studied with him a little bit.
That's right.
The conductor.
He did.
Yes.
He did, yeah.
Yes.
I will never forget a concert of Israel Philharmonic, which I attended. And Isaac Stern was the soloist.
Mm-hmm.
This is in 1990. And I do not recall now who did, but someone walked on stage before the concert began and announced that, Leonard Bernstein has just passed away.
Oh, my goodness.
I have never seen 2,000 people cry at the same
time. Oh, I just, isn't that something?
He was, of course, he was the darling in Israel. Everyone loved him. He was admired, beloved by everyone. And he was there at every war that happened. He was there playing for the troops.
Really?
Absolutely irresistible. And
well, he was irresistible, moment, I think, personally, anyway. I mean, he was a charming man, aside from being so terribly talented.
Terribly talented. That's a very good way of putting it.
He was sickeningly talented,
exactly,
right? Even in, like, West Side Story, the jazz is so real. It's so phenomenal. And, of course, he integrates it. But the serenade is very beautiful. This is also on the album.
It is. And this is a piece that I feel very strongly about, and I insist on playing it. Not every orchestra agrees. Some are afraid. It is very, very difficult on more than one level. It's very difficult technically, ensemble-wise.
Yes.
But it's such a rewarding piece. It's just incredible.
I think that Bernstein loved to do that. He almost challenged the musician.
Absolutely. I feel so almost every bar.
Yes.
In the serenade.
I dare you to play this, says
exactly,
he.
Exactly.
And then, of course, you've got my favorite on here, the Barber Concerto for Violin and Orchestra. The second movement, I think, is just one of the most gorgeous things that ever has been written.
I don't blame you. It is indeed one. I think this is one of his greatest achievements.
Oh, it's just...
And having said that, Barber knew how to write a melody.
Oh, but this melody, and of course you play this so beautifully. When I listened to the album, I went to the second movement of the Barber.
For me, it was love at the first sight. I learned it, I don't know, some 10 years ago, and I played it for the first time. I think it was in Frankfurt or in Mainz, somewhere in that area in Germany. And I just fell head over heels. And the very first morning after that, I called my agent and I said, I want to record it.
Yes, well, it is a glorious work. Is the third movement as hard as it's supposed to be?
It's not easy.
What an answer.
I would not say that this is absolutely the most difficult piece of music I have ever played, not at all. But it is very challenging. And it's not only challenging to play it per se technically, but it's very challenging in ensemble. The soloist, the conductor, and the orchestra, we all have to have nerves of steel.
Mm.
To make it work, to not shake the tempo, and to maintain the speed, to maintain the energy at a very stable rhythm and very stable tempo. But these are technicalities. It's a tremendous piece of music.
Well, I mean, your accomplishment of just this album is enormous, but you do have others as well. And this, again, is your very newest, and then you'll have another one coming up. And as far as being making your debuts, have you done any this year with orchestras that you have not played with before? Chicago was one of them.
Chicago was one of my debuts this year. And guess what? I played Bernstein.
Well, you know, you're having all your prayers answered. You realize that, so you must be a very good person.
In this case, I really could not wish for anything better to play. Such a work with one of the greatest orchestras in the world, with a conductor whom I adore, and that is Pavel Järvi.
Oh, yes.
With whom we have played Bernstein before, and it was just natural that we chose it once again. And that really was a very happy evening, I must say.
Yes, I would imagine that one plays, well, I know that one performs better when one is happy with the people that you're performing with.
Absolutely. There is this connection on the unspoken level, so to speak, that you can't really substitute with anything else.
Well, how does that translate with your recitals with your wife? the unspoken level.
that's yet another level.
She's quite a pianist.
She is wonderful, I must say.
Angela Yoffe.
Yeah, and we did start playing together first and only then dating.
Oh, so that's how you met.
Just for the record.
Ah, well, that's good. Well, music has charms, you know.
It does indeed. Well, there, we've been playing together for, gosh, almost 20 years now.
Yes.
And, of course, our experience of and knowledge of each other musically is such that we really do not need to talk.
It's wonderful.
Even when we pick up a new work, of course, there are things we have to decide and discuss.
Mm-hmm.
But there are this the degree of subtleties that I can allow myself and she can allow herself. Mm-hmm. I really don't think I can experience it with anybody else.
That is amazing. That is true understanding, well beyond the spoken word.
Absolutely.
Now, you're going to be giving a concert in January in Chicago with her, aren't you?
Yes, recital. We're playing a recital in January, and we're speaking of debuts, we're making a debut at Bigmar Hall in London next season.
Oh, that's a wonderful hall, I understand.
It is beautiful.
Yes. Well, you have an amazing touring schedule, plus the fact that you will be again returning to Israel and teaching students, I guess,
yeah,
during your artist in residence. And do you think you'll be doing anything with the Israel Philharmonic?
Well, I have just played with them the other season. We played Mendelssohn, and my conductor was Isaac Perlman.
Oh.
That was so exciting.
Vadim, I just, as I said, you must be a very good person because your life sounds, well, it's very rewarding for you on the levels that are important to you, and you deserve that. And continue thrilling the public and giving us this beautiful music and recording these albums. And I hope you'll be coming to Philadelphia soon.
Absolutely. I know it's been in the works.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. I know this was precious time, and just the very, very best. We'll be talking again.
Absolutely. Thank you. It's always a pleasure.